Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. What makes a jam band really great? For that matter, what makes a jam band? And does Frank Zappa qualify? Well, he's being awarded a posthumous Lifetime Achievement Award at the 6th Annual Jammy Awards, being held at Madison Square Garden tomorrow night. It's a 5-hour event that celebrates the art of the jam band. Joining me on the line to discuss this is the MC of the event, Dean Budnick. He's also the editor at jambands.com. Dean, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you.
So, Frank Zappa, being honored with a posthumous Lifetime Achievement Award, was Zappa and his group a jam band?
Well, I would say that they probably have what I would characterize as the two hallmarks. First of all, you know, as is suggested by the name, clearly improvisation in the live setting is very important. And while Zappa's bands were clearly very, very well rehearsed, there were a number of moments over the course of those shows within songs where there was a great deal of improvisation. But beyond that, and I think this is the part of the definition that often eludes people, and this is the one that I sort of hang my hat on, is that, you know, jam band is a term, to my mind at least, that describes groups that bridge genres that aren't quite jazz, aren't quite funk, aren't quite blues, aren't quite electronica. And in that realm, if you look at, you know, the full oeuvre of his career, I think you'll see that, you know, really he touched on many different realms, many different styles. I mean, in certain respects, you could almost replace the word jam band with Zappa if you think about all of the different moves he made over the course of his career.
So to take as an example the classic jam band, the Grateful Dead, in the studio, capable of releasing albums that were full of very tightly knit 3-, 4-, 5-minute songs, but in a live setting, you know, opening them up to 20-30 minute extended improvisational journeys that went someplace when it worked, and I guess when they didn't work, people liked them anyway.
I would contend they weren't just, you know, a bunch of naive, stoned hippies out there, that people sort of lived through the moments when the music fell. They it's like life. It's up and down. So when, you know, the Dead were unsuccessful, I think that it was accepted as unsuccessful. It simply made the highs higher.
Right. So people weren't expecting perfection every time out. It was kind of like watching, for example, Keith Jarrett do one of his solo piano concerts, where you're never quite sure, and you're not sure whether he's sure of where he is and where he's going to end up, and it's the journey that kind of is the point of the thing.
I think that's the majesty of it, and I think people generally, incidentally, tend to stereotype Deadheads and assume that they just love everything the Dead did, and frankly, I know so many more picky Deadheads than I do ones who simply would take it all in and smile throughout a given show.
Right. Now, this event, the 6th Annual Jammies, you've been emceeing it for 6 years straight. It's at Madison Square Garden. Can it be both an award show and a jam band concert simultaneously?
Well, for anyone who's been there in years past, there's no doubt about that. I think our third year when the show went till 3 o'clock in the morning, there was no doubt it was that year. I think everyone saw that. I mean, the answer is yes, and I think the Jammies is really about celebrating the music of these bands, and the way we celebrate it isn't by taking up a lot of time with the awards. We certainly, you know, hand them out over the course of the night, and I really believe they're very important, and I know a number of people who've won them, who have them around their house, and I do think it's something to be proud of, but most of the evening, I would say 90% of it, is live improvisational music featuring a number of artists who have never performed together before, which really very much embodies the spirit of what we're trying to get at here.
So tomorrow night you have bands like Guster and Blues Traveler, but you also have the West African-born New York-based singer Angelique Kidjo, who, again, you know, I would not think of as a jam band type artist, but you're kind of throwing her out there with someone she's never played with before?
Indeed. In fact, you know, we don't announce these prior to the show. That again, is part of the, you know...
Oh, come on, Dean. It's just you and me.
Oh, you think? Well, I'll say this. She's playing... You mentioned a band earlier. She's playing with some very notable drummers from a band that we referenced.
Okay.
And frankly, she's not the only one. That's going to be a really, really interesting segment, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Which, let's say hypothetically, were to include Bill Kreutzmann and Mickey Hart and Angelique Kujo. There's going to be some other people in there as well that are really going to take that to another level.
All right, Dean, have you noticed a change in the Jammies audience over the years? Is it mostly, you know, old deadheads, or are you getting younger folks too?
I think it really genuinely is a mix of both. I think that when we started out the event, and we did it at Irving Plaza, and we did it at Roseland, maybe it tended to be younger people, simply because, you know, maybe older people want to have seats.
Right,
and
right.
The beauty of the theater at MSG is you have that option where people who want to be able to sit down there in the back, but we have a GA section up front if people just, you know, want to stand there, get up front, get a groove on, etc. So I really do think that there's a nice mix. I mean, this is our third year now that we're doing it at the theater at MSG, and I really do think in many respects it's the perfect venue for this type of show.
All right. Dean Budnick is hosting the 6th Annual Jammy Awards Show tomorrow at Madison Square Garden. He's the MC of that event and the editor of jambands.com. Dean, have fun tomorrow night. Thanks for joining us today on Soundcheck.
Thanks. Stop by.
That's going to do it for today's program. Tomorrow, Tony Award winner Patti LuPone joins us to talk about her role in the Broadway revival of Sondheim's Sweeney Todd. The production finds her singing and playing the tuba. Also, music boxes. They're small, delicate little items. But imagine creating one large enough to walk through. We'll hear about a sound installation in Queens called Fluxbox. And a look at the Dance Theater Workshop production, Sourcing Stravinsky. If you missed something on the show or want to hear it again, it's archived on our website, the Soundcheck page, at WNYC.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell, our program produced by Brian Wise, Maureen McMurray, and Allison Lichter. Our senior producer is Giselle Regatow, and our executive producer is Chris Bannon. We had help today from Kevin Schlottman. I'm John Schaefer. Join us again next time for another Soundcheck.